Freedom Through Grace Bible Study, lesson number 22, July the 10th, 2012. We're dealing with the principles of freedom that God has established and given to us on the law of the divine establishment for temporal living in the material world. We have seen the law of creation, which is natural science, the law by which God maintains order in the universe. All things that exist, exist by the decree of God. God spoke His word, call forth creation. Perfect and orderly plan, He designed His wisdom, His omniscience, His total knowledge of all things. God and the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, all three share as members of the triune Godhead, one God and three persons, eternally united, eternally in harmony with each other, each sharing in totality all the attributes of God. Wisdom fully understood when the Father introduced His protocol plan of the ages, bringing eternal glory, new glory, everlasting glory, I should say, to His Son. By a plan that would include one day Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, coming to hypostatic union, taking upon Himself a human nature, bring Himself down to the level of man, and from there being promoted and exalted by fulfilling the perfect plan of the Father. In this plan He designed all things, included the human body. The human body was to be a body prototype, as He designed it, was for God the Son to take when He came in hypostatic union. Having designed the body in eternity, eternal wisdom, using language of accommodation for us, because God's knowledge is total at all times, something we finite people can understand of our infinite God. He designed the body at the proper time for Adam, the first man. The second law is the law of the physical body, biological life. Third is the law of psychological life in the human soul. We designed to bring forth the human soul, with the human soul in Adam. Spiritual life is for the believers only. The unbeliever doesn't have spiritual life, and the Adam was created with spiritual life. The fall brought this about. You must be born again to have spiritual life, the human spirit alive and living inside of you and I. So that law belongs to the spiritual law and not in the temporal material law. The fourth is a complete person, believer or unbeliever, from birth on, unbeliever from birth on remains with the believer. That is a concept of the law of individuality or personal freedom, which we point out to you consists of volition, the right to make decisions, the privacy of your own soul to make the decisions in, property rights, the right to benefit from your decision. I should have said first, let's miss one responsibility. We're responsible for making good decisions up front, and then accountability. The law of whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're accountable for the result of the decisions that we make in life. The fifth law of divine establishment of temporal living is the law of marriage. God said it is not good that man should be alone. Vittorio Alfieri, who lived from 1749 to 1803, said, often the test of courage is not to die, but to live. We need to learn how to live inside of marriage. In America today, we have so many divorces, and after your divorce, turn it over to the blood of to God the Father, put it under the blood of Christ, and move on. If you're married and you're struggling in your marriage, your believers, you and your wife need to concentrate on having the courage to keep going in the marriage that God has brought to you. The development of patient courage, which is the epithet of Admiral Cuthbert Collingwood of the Royal Navy. Collingwood said, "The patient courage which waits for the opportunity, it cannot create. A husband and wife need to have to learn to live together, manifesting courage inside their marriage, to be patient, to wait for the things that God has, the doors that He will open to you in life. Life is a growing process. We're going to examine the values that God has placed into this unique situation known as marriage." Sir Admiral Collingwood lived from 1740 to 1810. What an outstanding concept. The patient courage which waits for the opportunity, it cannot create. There are things that come in our life that you and I can't settle, but God has a plan for it. God, before we begin, let's pause for solemn prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, but will accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify and bless in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. All around us, we see people in a frantic and inveterate search after happiness. Constantly seeking happiness. People seek happiness by making money, by trying to obtain wealth. No matter how much they get, they want more. They're never satisfied, but they're trying to find happiness in it. They seek happiness in social status. Now, it may be simply a peer social status because life becomes relative to people. One person may be seeking just simply the wealth to afford to own outright their own house or condo, place for their to live, their family or whatever. Someone else has to have a place in the suburbs. Somebody else wants a swimming pool in the backyard. Wealth becomes things. Social status becomes it. We used to call it keeping up the Joneses. Status symbols, material things. Status symbols may be job promotions and titles. Many years ago, a department store I was working at when I was very, very young. Not a child, of course. In lieu of paying a lot of money to their employees, gave titles. The manager of the men's shoe department was the only full-time employee in the men's shoe department. But he had a title. These were the things. Materialistic things, those cars, swimming pool in the backyard, whatever it may be. Social life, running with the crowd they want to run with, being accepted in their peer crowd, being able to go to the basketball game or the baseball game on a regular basis, the football games or something, or the opera or something like that, having social life, meeting at the bar after work for drinks every night, or at least every Friday night. People will seek happiness and relaxation and privacy and security or success. At one time or another, everyone has wished for the pot of the gold at the end of the rainbow. We've all dreamed, you know, of finding the ultimate wealth somewhere or something. Yet the reality of life is that ultimately, with the exception of our relationship to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God says the highest status of happiness that can be found in this world, the happiness that the unbeliever can find, as well as the believer, is the happiness of man finding his right woman, his wife, and a woman finding her right man, her husband. Now, these are terms that I hate to use at times because of confusion over what they mean. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity or of thy emptiness." In other words, this is the highest standard you can find upon this earth, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy emptiness or vanity. The King James translates it, "For there is a portion in this life, in thy labor, which thou hast taken under the sun." The portion that God has given and provided to man, he said, is not good that man should be alone. It's a man needs a wife, and a wife needs a husband. Now, I hate to use the term right man, right woman. I go back with it to the term of the one woman from a book written by Pastor Thomas Dixon, Jr., a fictional story. Of a man, a pastor, that couldn't be satisfied with his wife. He looked elsewhere. Find something. He was a handsome man. Long hair. Turn of the century in New York City when long hair was in for men, but he liked his long, beautiful, curly hair. He thought he found his right woman, another woman. So he divorced his wife and married this woman under a free love concept where either one of them could walk away. Everything was a disaster. Trying to show the principle, the woman that he had as his original wife was the one woman, and we need to take it. I tell people, they say, "Well, you know, I married the wrong person." No, you didn't. If you're married to him right now and you're a believer, you pick up, start getting Bible doctrine growing forward. This is not to tell you how to get out of your marriage. This is not to tell you how to escape responsibility dream. Probably the worst thing ever happened in America was the production of romantic literature. And women got all these wrong ideas about what marriage is, and so did men. A romance concept. The woman wants a swashbuckling man to come along. I've taught for years that marriage is two old sin natures cohabitating in the same house and hopefully in the same bed. Two old sin natures that need the Word of God. At least need the standards of the laws of divine establishment for temporal living and the courage to stick out their marriage and keep going forward with what they are. Live joyfully. We're to live joyfully, though. I've got a friend of mine who, for many years now, him and his wife have lived in the same house. He supported her, maintained things. But they don't live as husband and wife. She wanted a divorce many years ago, and he refused it. She decided, well, I'll just stay and take things. He was not going to go do anything to ever get a divorce. He made his vow, till death do we part. But he told me, we live in the same house, but we live totally apart. Out for many years. Both believers. Both supposed to know a lot of Bible doctrine. A strange situation. So as we study this doctrine, I want you to understand God designed it for happiness. For both believers and unbelievers. An unbeliever can find satisfaction in his marriage. The reason the term says all the days of vanity or emptiness in the Hebrew is because of the fact when they die, they go to hell in their marriage and their job, the two things they can find satisfaction in this world in will not be satisfactory. The memories of them in the eternal torments of the lake of fire, eventually in Hades, awaiting the place of torments today, awaiting the lake of fire. Now, we have to understand that God designed the right woman for the right man for the right woman. Pastor Bob Thiem coined the term right man, right woman. far as I know, out of one man, one woman, I've heard J. Vernon McGee also use the right man, the concept of the right woman, but it was introduced to me through Pastor Thiem, but I could relate to it from Pastor Dixon, from understanding the issue of it from the doctrinal viewpoint. Finding your marriage part in being married is a quintessence of human happiness. God's design is fantastic happiness on earth for both believers and unbelievers. Some have experienced this happiness while others perhaps have missed it. Some never find it. Many of you still have some illusion about life, but you're also beginning to see many things which are disillusioning. All these romantic books people have read, all the movies they've seen, all the ideas that life is always going to turn out right at the end. Now, the Word of God is designed to correct all that. The basis for our living is the Word of God, Bible doctrine, resident of the soul. We need to understand certain principles related to marriage. May not mean a lot to you. I found out after all the years of marriage to my wife, marriage is a day-by-day operation. We're not going to always agree. My wife does things that I regret that she does. Sometimes she does things she regrets doing. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm just talking about doing things, cleaning house, throwing something away that I did not want thrown away, or whatever. We all are going to fuss stumble along the way. Last Sunday, 7 years ago, was the longest day of my life. Sitting in those waiting rooms at the hospital, sitting beside her first while they were prepping her for the brain surgery. Started a long downward trend. That we went through all those days in the hospital. And now the coma's gone. It was that long day. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, started prepping her. We got up, she had to take a special shower that morning. Dress. And down to the hospital. Check in. 5 a.m. we checked into the outpatient neurosurgical ward. I sat there. Old friend of mine came down and sat with me for hours. He was all crippled up. Didn't want me to be by myself. And later a young man first came into our service center when he was in the Navy. Showed up and took me home at night when they finally released her to the ICU unit after midnight. Almost 10 hours on the operating table with her head cut open. And the trauma that she went through, trying to stabilize her before they could move her up to ICU and all after that. Finally getting her moved to ICU after midnight, like I said. And what a day. I looked at her and knew that she was the woman God had meant for me. To walk beside her. Not behind me. Not in front of me, but beside me. Illusions disappear when you face the realities of life. When you realize that what you love so much you may lose. Sometimes people don't really realize who they love or what they love or appreciate their marriage until they lose it. Their marriage partners, killed in an accident, dies of a heart attack, cancer, or something. Or they walk away in divorce, and then suddenly they wake up and say, why did I let this get out of my life? Illusions of life. The Word of God is designed by the Father, given to man through the verbal inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to correct all that. Bible doctrine is a basis. It's going to set forth the principles you and I need to understand. If young people listen to this, it'll be the greatest thing in the world for having them get their marriage off on the right track. Keep it there. Perhaps you do not know as yet what it's like to have experiential knowledge of marriage and enjoying the pleasures of a right man, right woman. People have to understand that inside a marriage there can be a fantastic relationship spiritually, soulishly, and physically. The person designed for you by God the Father from eternity past. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the omniscience of God. I believe that God in His wisdom designed blessings for us. Everything in this world may go wrong. I've sinned and failed. You've sinned and failed. We're all sinners. We're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. My wife has walked beside me. Words of Tammy Wynette's famous song, Stand By Your Man. She stood by me in good times and in bad. What a blessing it is. We began this subject with God. Am I going to pull any punches as I go through it? Some, it's a delicate subject and never have the courage to teach it. Pastors to teach it in its entirety. They have to be too discreet, they feel. To others, they don't want to get into any real depth. They'd rather spend the hours in marriage counseling. If people understood this doctrine, they wouldn't need marriage counseling. All they need to do is go to the Word of God, faith rests their problems, turn them over to the Lord Jesus Christ, pray together and work together in harmony. If there has to be harmony in the marriage, God is going to bless it and hear it. Beginning with the person of God is always the place to begin with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All things begin with God. So what we need to do is we need to look at the concepts of marriage from the viewpoint of God the Father. God is perfect, therefore the Father's plan is perfect. If the Father's plan is perfect, then His plan and His law of the divine establishment for temporal living are perfect. We're going to see that there is freedom in marriage, the freedom of the marriage itself becomes an issue as two people begin to surrender some of their personal freedom for the freedom of marriage. The Father's design is perfect. His provisions are perfect. Apart from salvation, spiritual provisions, which are grace gifts, because every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above from the Father of lights, in whom is no variable, see the shadow turning, James 1:17. The Father has provided some other things that are absolutely perfect. God has designed one woman in the world perfectly suited for every man. There's one man perfectly suited for every woman. Just one, not two, not three, not four, five, six, eight, ten, 12, or a dozen. He may have tried a dozen and already reached this conclusion. Ever in arriving at this conclusion, you've done great damage to yourself and to your soul with regard to the possibilities of fulfilling divine design. You have to understand this. Like other grace gifts, sex must be understood within the framework of God's divine design, of God's Word. God, who designed sex for happiness in marriage, also set up laws and boundaries that limitate His powers outside of marriage. And when I use the term right man, right woman, the concept that God designed one specific man for one specific woman, each member of the human race has a right opposite numeric, except in those rare special cases where a person has been given by God the gift of celibacy, and I do not believe many people have the gift of celibacy. I believe many people don't have the courage to get married, the humility to get married. This becomes the issue of life. God sets the laws and God sets the boundary. In the nature of an animal, there is no such thing as a right stud or a right bitch. A male animal seeks the company of any female animal like the animal nature. The old sin nature in human species is frequently not particular. The old sin nature, also known as the old man, the Adamic nature of the flesh, which we've dealt with you from Ephesians 4:22, Romans 8:3 and 4. It's the principle of sin of Romans 7 8 through verses 20. The nature of corruption produces human good and personal sin. The old sin nature is the area of weakness. That's where personal sin is produced. The area of strength, that's what produces human good. God rejects the human good. Romans 8:8, Isaiah 64:6. It's like he rejects the sin. The difference is Christ died for our sins, but not for our human good. Our human good will be the basis and be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. It will be the basis for the trial of the unbeliever at the white throne judgment. Our nature of corruption, or also known as our old sin nature, has lust patterns, has trends toward asceticism and toward lasciviousness. It may lead you down the path of immoral degeneracy, if you allow it to, or moral degeneracy, or religious degeneracy. You see, when the human nature, the old sin nature and its distortion takes over control, it's difficult to determine apart from Scripture what God has ordained and what man has corrupted. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. Okay, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the flesh, fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. In ASV translation. All right, King James. Now, and God said, let us make man our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The significance of the phrase God said is this. I want you to think about this. Right man and right woman for the institution of marriage was provided historically before salvation. That's why it's for believers and unbelievers alike. This is why we look at it from the concept of God's historical plan. Originally, man did not need salvation, so the greatest thing God ever did for the human race apart from salvation was to make the provision of right man, right woman. Verse 27 says, and God created man in his own image, the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. Man here, the word is used generically here, and amplified by the phrase male and female, although his physical formation is not described until Genesis 2:18-23, and came about some period of time after the creation of Adam. Her soul was placed in incubation inside of Adam, the bone from which he was to create his shape of Eve's body from. God made a provision in his divine decree for the male and the female, and ever remember their relationship, their soul relationship, their physical relationship, and their relationship to God spiritually. The first man, the first woman, Adam and Eve, had a great spiritual life, for Jesus Christ personally taught their Bible class. Every day, Jesus Christ came down and walked with them in the garden and taught them the word of the living God. Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, and the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard your sound of your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. After he was sinful, he became afraid, but he recognized the voice of his Creator. God had walked with the Son. It came down, appeared in Christophany, for appearances in a human form, walked with Adam in the garden for an unknown period of time. I personally believe for 1,000 years, because the Bible says a day is likened to 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is likened to a day to God. One day for God. Adam walked with him. He trained Adam. Adam named all the animals. Adam did all these things, and then he brought Eve to Adam. The reason I believe this is because I believe that Adam passed in the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict. Adam passed the test of the law of individuality, his law of personal freedom. He never ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil during that 1,000 years. Then God gave him Eve, and for an unknown period of time, they walked together, perhaps as much as 900 years, we do not know. The 930-year date of the life of Adam only began with his fall. Adam was not some innocent caveman. He was a man that God communicated with. He was a man that God studied every animal and every bird and named them and determined that there was no soulmate for him to be found. Pets were not the answer to life and all that he saw. In Genesis 1:26, God Elohim is in the plural, as we point out. And Elohim refers to the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by using the word us. How many times have we said to you, Elohim, from the root El, E-L, and Elah, E-L-A-H, the first of the three, Elohim is the first of the primary names of deity. It is uniplural. Five, we've taught that elsewhere at other times. The word Elohim has the plurality of God included in it because it's a uniplural noun. The word said indicates that the members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, were holding a conference. We often call it the Eternal Life Conference. And what was assigned at that conference is a part of the Father's divine decree, his decreed will. The divine decree is the sum total of God the Father's plan for the human race, but specifically for the believers designed in eternity past and centered in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've dealt with this before from Ephesians 1, 4-6, verses 9 to 11, 1 Peter 1:20. The divine decree is based on the principle of grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace are you saved through faith, and none of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The plan was to bring maximum glorification to the Son, Hebrews chapter 13. The eternal covenant between the Father and the Son, notarized by the Holy Spirit, in which the Son would take upon himself one day a human body, hypostatic union, a human nature, fully develop that human nature, not become one or two persons at the same time, something beyond our finite understanding, would develop that human nature. As he won the tactical victories of the angelic conflict by refusing to follow the satanic plan to abandon God. He would set the stage of life and blessing. God would do these things. All things would come about in him. Christ, who would be the focal point of the plan, he would obtain, therefore, human glory to go with his eternal, immutable, unchangeable, divine glory, his infinite glory. The subject of the agenda at the divine, at the Eternal Life Conference, the Father's divine decree, put down in our verse in front of us as a man, but specifically the principle of the right man, the right woman, because there will be the two. Now this has been a much discussed topic in time. We understand it was first discussed in heaven. At the time that the Father and the Son and the Spirit decided to create man, they also decided to provide for male the species of a right woman, and apart from a few exceptions, every person who's ever lived has by divine design and by the grace of God a right counterpart, a wife for a husband for a wife. Now, people interfere and fail to identify with what God has for them. Today, with the internet and all the things, the chat rooms and everything they got out there, Facebook and stuff, people are going out making contact with people they knew years ago. I hear about it all the time. Well, I came in contact with my boyfriend from the 11th grade and found out that he's been in a miserable marriage just like I have, and maybe we should have married all along and we're going to reinstate ourselves and get together. And all these things, the grass is always greener on the other side. You must understand something. We've given you the creative verbs before. God said, let us make man. There are four Hebrew words which are used in placing man and woman on this earth, and their physical bodies with their soul inside their bodies. In Genesis 1:26, when it says, let us make man, God uses the word asah, A-S-A-H. This means to manufacture something out of existing material. Make man our image, after our likeness. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Even every one that is called of my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. 57:16. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me in the souls which I have made. Second word is bara, means to make something out of nothing. The creation of the invisible essence, we've given you that before. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 27, we have bara used. This speaks to the soul, for so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. Genesis 5. Verse 1, in the book of the generation of Adam, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Verse 2, male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam. In that day they were created. Adam is a generic term also for man, as well as the name of the first man. Bara is also used, as we see in Isaiah 43. Verse 7, where both words are used. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him in my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Yatsar is the third word, J-A-T-S-A-R, used in the creation of the male body only. Genesis 2, verse 7. Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The fourth word is used only for the creation of the female body, bana, B-A-N-A-H. Genesis 2:22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, bana here, and brought her unto the man. Bara refers to one aspect of the soul essence, indicating by the word of image, while Asai emphasizes another aspect of the soul personality. Asai, S-A-H, is not used for the physical part of man, but is used in connection with Bara, for the creation of the soul. In the human soul, although Asai means to manufacture something out of something, it actually has to do with human personality. See, your personality is a manifestation of your soul. Bara is the visible essence of your soul and my soul, and consists of self-consciousness, mentality, volition, emotion, and consciousness. We're self-conscious. We understand ourselves. We have mentality. Mentality includes reason, the ability to think with logic. It includes imagination. It includes the understanding of the past, historical understanding, what we go through, experiences, and learn from, present reality, and future anticipations. The emotions and the are how we respond to other people. The affections are how we initiate to other people. We have both emotions and affections. Conscious. Everyone, male and female, has the same characteristics as a soul. We all have mentality. We have a left lobe and a right lobe. The right lobe is the dominant lobe of the mentality of the soul, designated in the Greek by the word cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, translated the heart. The right lobe has four areas, the frame of reference with this memory center, the final storage place for all knowledge and basis for learning new knowledge. The conscious, which gives us our norms and standards, the vocabulary in which categories are formed, and viewpoint, the use of viewpoint is the use of vocabulary, conscious, frame of reference, leading to viewpoint of life on any given subject. The left lobe of the mind is the noose. Is the perception lobe, what we call the staging lobe the soul in OUS. Everyone, male and female, has the same characteristics of the soul. All of us have mentality then. You have a conscious for the right lobe. With your volition, you have the ability to make decisions, and you have emotions with which to appreciate things in life, with which to respond. The old sin nature, which is also a part of the soul, was not created and therefore is not an issue at this point. The old sin nature comes in the body and influences the soul and eventually will take over the soul of the unbeliever. Salvation allows a believer to control the old sin nature, which God considers to be him to be dead to through retroactive positional truth. Romans 6 teaches that we were crucified with Christ, we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, we rose with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 teaches that we have ascended with Christ in the third heaven and we're seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father. All this means we should walk in newness of life. Now, we have the ability to use our volition to make decisions. We have our affections, which allow us to appreciate things, and our emotions, which allow us to respond to things. For years I battled over this one. Friends of mine only believe that we have the emotions, but we have to appreciate, we have the appreciators of the soul first. Affections. And the emotions, responders. Now, God did not create the old sin nature. We inherit the old sin nature from Adam. It came into existence in Adam with his original sin. God has manufactured out of the essence of our soul a distinct personality which belongs to you and me. None two people are exactly alike. Two words are used for the creation of the human soul because there are two parts of the soul of man, essence and personality. We have asah, A-S-A-H, is mentioned first, since man is going to be a personality. Elohim says, let us asah, manufacture man. Now we have an interesting thing. The word man is Adam in the Hebrew. Here's a distinction which we need to learn. The word Adam by itself always refers to male and female, that is, the human race. It is the same concept as Homo sapiens or mankind. It's another word for man. Ha, Adam, H-A-A-D-A-M. Hebrew form includes the definite article ha. The word Adam is not the human race in general, but refers to the first man and the original creation by God. You don't have the ha, Adam. It refers to the race in general. Distinction always occurs in the original Hebrew, so the literal translation here, Elohim said, let us manufacture out of the essence of the soul, the Adamic, that is, the human race. Elohim is the key to understanding the words, image, and likeness. Although God the Son, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the actual creator, John 1:3 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16, another one we quote all the time, for by Him were all things created that are in the heavens, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities of power. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. God the Son is the one working and doing these things. And then the third verse of continuation, for confirmation, that is Hebrews 1:10, and Thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. The God the Son is not mentioned here. That comes up later with under the word Jehovah Elohim, because this is still the planning stage. The plural Elohim is used to indicate the identical essence of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is a pattern here. Just as Elohim is one in essence, so man, male and female, has the same essence as the soul, but there's also a difference. The difference comes from the fact that there are three separate and distinct persons in the Godhead. Therefore, three personalities. Just so there are many, many separate and distinct individuals in the human race, as many bona fide personalities. Image and likeness refer to invisible essence. Image, T-S-E-L-E-M in the Hebrew, is shadow image or essence. If someone opened your head and looked inside, he would not find self-consciousness or thoughts. He could not see volition. He could not see affections. He could not see emotions. He could not see your frame of reference, understand your norms and standards or your conscience. These things are the slim, which are real but invisible, just as God is real but invisible. The word has a first-person plural suffix, which indicates all three members of the Godhead. All three have essence, but their essence is invisible. John 1:18. Another one of the favorite passages, because we can't get out of John chapter 1. It sets the glorification price for Christ. No man has seen God, that's God the Father, at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Actually, no one can see any member of the Godhead, though the Father is the one emphasized there. You cannot see God with the eye. It is intangible. You cannot handle him. The same thing is true of man. God made an invisible part of man, which is the real man, the real you, the real I. The real us is in the soul. Just as God has invisible but real essence, so man, though in a different way, in a limited sense, has invisible, intangible, but real essence. The word likeness, the second word we have used here, is demuth, D-E-M-U-T-H, is a model of pattern. This means that just as all three members of the Godhead have the same essence and are three separate distinct persons, so everyone in the human race has the same essence, but we all have different personalities. We're separate persons. So Elohim created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Created here is bara, B-A-R-A, to create something out of nothing. Now, I want you to notice it says here he created Ha Adam, the definite article, the man, one specific person. Verse 26 refers to human race in general. Verse 27 refers to Adam in particular. Then again, we have the fact that he is created in the image of God. This is, of course, slim. The first Adam had essence. The image is not just of God, it's the image that would be of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, human soul that he would have. You see, God the Father first designed what he had for the Son. And Adam became the prototype that he developed out of it. Now, a little something different is added, as we saw here, male and female created him. First, this indicates that the male and female became living creatures at separate times. See, God designed the Son. But he first created Adam. Then he created the woman. Now, the male word is Zakar, Z-A-K-A-R, refers to the male soul of Adam, which was created on the sixth day and activated according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Activation involved the provision of a body to house the soul. You see, the soul of every human being must have a house. God the Father actually provided on D plus 6, the day he created man, a house for the male only. Sometime afterwards, we point out, before he provided the house, the body for the female soul, and she actually became a living person. The female word here in the Hebrew is N-E-Q-E-B-A-H. Refers to the woman with regard to her soul, which was designed to respond to man on the concept of right man, right woman. Details are all described in Genesis chapter 2. After Adam was created, he was alone for some time. Genesis 2:19, he went to work, still without a woman. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it, that's to till it, and to keep it, Shamar, that's to guard it. We get down to verse 19, he went to work naming things, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see that he would call them. Once Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. We saw from Ecclesiastes 9:9 that there is both happiness in marriage and happiness in work for both the believer and the unbeliever. It's the only happiness the unbeliever ever finds. That's why we call it neutral happiness. It doesn't enter in it because the unbeliever never enjoys the happiness that comes from knowing in relationship with God. And the 6 days of restoration, six 24-hour days. The sixth day, man was given a soul, a body, and a spirit, but the woman did not exist as a person, as we said, until some period of time later, perhaps as much as 1,000 years later. She would come about in a very dramatic way. Thus, there was a period on the earth when there was only one male of the species. In fact, that would become an issue. So male and female, he created them in the case that although both souls were created at the same time, only one body, only one person was truly alive. The woman's soul was still in incubation, the original sleeping beauty has been called. Same principle is seen in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. It is the Adamic human race, and the day Adam created man, and the day God created man, the likeness of God made to him, Ha Adam, H-A-A-D-A-M, the first man. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day plus 6, day 6 created in a, is the Cal infinitive here, construct of Bara, B-A-R-A, the word used for the essence of the soul. On the sixth day, man's body, soul, and spirit was created. The woman's soul was Barad, B-A-R-A, apostrophe D, but not activated in the likeness, Demuth, D-E-M-U-T-H, a model or pattern referring to their personality. Again, we have a reference to the entire human race, but the emphasis is on the creation of the man with different kinds of personalities. Man, made, asah, A-S-A-H, means to manufacture personalities out of invisible essence. The last word, him, otho, O-T-H-O, refers to the souls of both the man and the woman. Both of their souls were created in D plus 6, but one was activated and one was not. Genesis 5:2, male and female created, bara, but he them. And bless them and call their name Adam, A-D-A-M, meaning the human race, in the day when they were created. Although the word made here indicated the male sex, it is used for male soul, which was designed to satisfy the soul of the female in the concept of right man, right woman. Female is used of the soul of the right woman, which was designed to respond to the right man. Category 2, love, starts in the soul and overflows in the body. The soul of the man, the right man and the right woman, as well as their bodies, are designed to be a perfect match for each other. But it is the discovery in the soul that leads to the eventual intimacy that comes through sex in the marriage. The intimacy of the body doesn't come first. The intimacy of the soul comes first. I want you to notice something in Genesis that is very, very important here. It says, male and female created he them, manufactured them, and blessed them. And he called their name Adam in the day when they were created. The word blessed here. God blessed them. Every good gift and every perfect gift coming down above from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow turning. All the misogynists in the world, all the people who don't want a marriage partner, all the people who want to walk life alone, all the loners, God designed one male soul and one female soul in a category 2 love, the first and greatest blessing that ever received apart from God. Category 1 love is our relationship to God. Category 2 love is our relationship inside of marriage. God brought this into being out of his divine essence. The characteristics of deity are seen in the creation of Adam. God is sovereign. He had the supreme. He had the right to create Adam. He created Adam out of his righteousness. Everything about him was created perfect. His justice defends his righteousness. He created Adam in love. I have loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah says. He created Adam for the purpose of Adam having eternal life, though Adam would lose his temporary perfect life when he sinned, and he would one day physically die. Adam, who was born again in the Garden of Eden after he sinned, led to his salvation by his Redeemer God, when the Son revealed himself as to be the Redeemer God and promised it through the seed of the woman. How much was revealed doesn't matter. Enough was revealed for Adam to have faith. The omniscience of God, God knows all things that could happen, all things that will happen, all things that will not happen, because he does not purpose it to happen in all the ramifications of it. He's all-powerful, omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. He has veracity, truth, so we can accept these things. All right, Category 1 love is our love toward God. First, toward the triune Godhead in general, and as we learn Christology doctrine, doctrine toward Christ, pneumatology doctrine, doctrine toward the Holy Spirit, theurology doctrine, doctrine toward the Father. And these become the issues. The PL stem is used here and intensified, indicating tremendous happiness. The ultimate of human happiness we've seen from Ecclesiastes 9:9 becomes the issue. See, enjoy lives with the right woman. Enjoy lies with the right woman whom thou hast loved all the days of your life, because it should be plural. There is soul life as well as body life. Doctrinal Expanded Translation. See, that is, comprehend from the soul, enjoy the lives, soul and body, with the right woman whom thou hast loved all the days of your life of emptiness, whom he has given you, as God has given you under the sun, all the days of emptiness. For this right woman is your portion in life, and your work, your occupation, in which you are working under the sun. Live joyfully, as translated in English, is a little weak. What it actually says here is more intriguing and just as good. First of all, there is no verb here for live. The word is a command and means to see and enjoy. See lives. Enjoy lives. Lives refers to all the capacities of the soul and the body. The rest of the verse explains and what connection this command is to be fulfilled. First of all, he is referred to as a male unbeliever, and he is to see and enjoy the soul and body of the right woman whom he loves, has loved. We have the Cal Perfect of Ahav, A-H-A-V, and means that you experience that love in time, although it is designed in eternity past. It is the strongest word in the Hebrew language for love. All the days refers to the remainder of our lives after the right woman is brought to the right man. Every time a right man is with his right woman, his entire lifetime a blessing. This is true even though their life is otherwise filled with vanity, that is emptiness or misery. A technical term denoting the life of the unbeliever as he battles with the details and circumstances of life. The curse was placed upon woman and upon man and Adam's original sin. And it says of the man, Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. Now the woman, he says, Verse 16, of the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception of sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children. The desire shall be thy husband. He shall rule over thee. God has set the stage for joy and happiness for man. All the days refers to the remainder of their lives after the right woman is brought to the man. Every time the right man and right woman are together, then they can have happiness in their soul. It's neutral happiness if they're unsaved. If they're saved, they can have plus H, God's happiness in their marriage through the filling of the Spirit. Because the first fruit of the Spirit is agape love. Right woman is a gift of grace to the man. For the believer and the unbeliever, right man is a gift of grace to the woman. In the time in which they're alive on the earth, God did not intend for man to be miserable with a life of emptiness. He intended each man to have a right woman. For the believer, this is the only true and everlasting happiness he can have in this earth. You see how this knocks out every other type of perversion. Homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, masturbation, adultery, fornication. As pointed out in Ecclesiastes 7:29. Lo, this only I have found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out his inventions. Romans 1:26. Man was made upright. Romans 1:26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. Leviticus 18:23, 20:15, 16, Deuteronomy 27:21. People are inclined toward any form of sexual perversion, inevitably deprive themselves completely and totally of this one type of happiness in life that neither requires being saved nor depends on spirituality. If God designed this gift so that even an unbeliever with an empty life can have happiness, just imagine how it will add up to great blessings to the believer. We'll pick up here in the next class as we study the marriage concept as man's portion in this life. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. For your word is absolute truth, and claim your promise it will not return void, but will accomplish all that you designed it for. Sanctified and blessed, we ask you. In Christ's name.